I'm really touched by, it's really funny because when we put services together, you know, I'm new at doing the liturgy and stuff like that, so you kind of plan stuff out according to what God gives you in scriptures and stuff like that, but it's amazing how he orchestrates the worship to coordinate with that. You know, there's been a theme all the way across this, you know, about how God is never, he's never letting you go to trust him, to that there's power beyond what we could ever imagine. And so I want to start off with prayer, and then we're going to close out today Ephesians. So we have been going through Ephesians the past few weeks, and this is the ninth sermon. So we'll pray, and then we'll get into it. So, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, and just thank you so much for an opportunity for us to gather here before you and to worship you and to honor you with our praise. Lord, I just ask that today, as we enter into this sermon, that you just open up our hearts to accept what the power of the Holy Spirit will give to us, to equip us, to allow us to be ready to fight the war that is always ever present in our lives. Lord, help us to put away any distractions that we might have, Lord, to be completely focused on what you may have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, this week's been really hard to stop being distracted, not get emotionally riled up about things that are really minor in the reality of things, but because Satan, it was like I put Satan on notice when I was getting ready to prepare for the armor of God. And he was like, okay, let's see what you got. And I'll tell you, I've never prayed so much in a week before. And this was done last week, so I was like, okay, cool. You know, like I've got this prepared, the sermon prepared, and so I can rest and I'll wait and I'll review it and then it'll be fine. And Satan was like, no, there's no rest this week. And so I start off with the first verse here in Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, and His mighty and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." So right there, lets me know the schemes, right? So what happens when someone's scheming against you? They're trying to manipulate you. They're trying to distract you. They're trying to deter you from focus on what God wants you to have in your life, right? So I saw this quote, and I thought it would be pretty fitting. The enemy's attacks are always wrapped in packaging of deception, always designed to manipulate the truth about God and about your value in him. He desires to lead you into sin, so that fellowship is broken between you and God. This way, you'll be disconnected from the source of true power and strength. So, we can all agree that Satan is not happy when you have given your life over to Christ. Right? Immediately, he's like, oh, not another one. And then, so, in Psalm 18:39, it says, "You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me." So, Satan knows he's defeated, right? But we need to remind ourselves that we are armed for this battle. We are ready for this. In Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord." In other words, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me, right? You've heard that before. Well, we're dealing with something that's way beyond that, okay? Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So I say recognize the enemy. Okay? In that moment of peace, recognize that Satan doesn't want that. In that moment of great health and you're living your best life, Satan doesn't want that. Why? Because he wants to derail you or distract you from what God has a plan and the path for you in your life. He wants to make sure that you stay focused. God wants you to stay focused on him. But that means, I saw this, dying to self, giving yourself over. That means everything that this world has to offer is from the world. I'm going to leave it. I'm accepting everything you have to offer me, Lord. Everything you have for me in my life. The blessings you have for me in my life. You know? And then what does that sacrifice come with? That comes with a price. Okay? Because then the work begins. Because then Satan's like, okay, I can't let this be for any good. I can't let what his life has changed for me, you know. I took this sinner. I was training him well. He was doing well. He sinned well. Satan was like, "Oh, my champion's over here." And God was like, "Nope. He's mine." Why? Because he believes in me. Because he accepted me. He loves me, and I have always loved him. I loved him enough that I was willing to give my own son to die, to whoop you, so that you wouldn't have the opportunity to any longer have that. He doesn't represent you anymore. He represents me. Now, that doesn't mean Satan can't blur that line and still try to get you, and still try to give you things that are going to like be tempting, you know? Look over here, look over here, look what I've got. You know, even in that moment when you think you're at your strongest, that's when he's going to fight the hardest. When you think you've got it, when you walk, I mean, I've seen, how many stories have we seen of pastors who are running big churches and doing the right thing, and God just looks to be blessing their life in every step along the way, and they fall. And it looks like everything's imploding, right? And Christians forget that we are sinners. The church forgets and destroys that person. Why? Because Satan took something that, I see God, oh wait, squirrel. And that in a moment of pleasure, in a moment of distraction, you took your eyes off of God, you didn't give it back to him. Now, it doesn't mean you're not recoverable, doesn't mean you're not loved, doesn't mean you can't come back to God, and doesn't mean that he didn't already forgive you for it. You're covered. Okay? You're covered. But then Satan says, no, you're defeated. No, you're covered. By the blood of Christ at that cross, when he defeated sin, you were covered. When he rose again to remind us that once again, one day, we will be with him. That resurrection was a reminder that when we fall dead to this world, we will rise again in him. Okay? We're covered. But it doesn't mean his work is over. Satan is going to fight and fight and fight and fight and fight because he doesn't want you to be happy that you made that choice. He doesn't. He doesn't want you to go, I'm Christian, I've got so much joy and so much love, and everybody can see it around me. And he's like, oh, you're making me sick. You know, can you not look out the window and see all the people that are in misery? Can't you join them? Misery loves company. Why don't you jump on over? No, show them the joy and the love of Christ so that they can get out of that misery valley and step out into victory. Because that's it. We walk in this valley and we just think the walls are too high. We forget who we serve. You know, I have not been the perfect person my entire life. I haven't. And there is moments, I mean, you have my mom, she's laughing. I am just so thankful that I'm covered by the grace of God. I'm so glad that it's not up to me. That if it were up to me, I would fail. But that I don't fight this alone. Okay? 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. In other words, why are you in shock that Satan doesn't want you to be happy? Okay? Good versus evil. You know, the little devil on one shoulder, and they're telling you, you know, the devil and the angel, do the right thing. Well, I don't have time for that game. This world doesn't have time for that game, that representation. Satan has no authority over my life. And I have to claim that daily. Because Satan's like, did you have a good rest? Was it good for you? Because while you were sleeping, I devised a plan. I've got something, I just hear me out. Right? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not in the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, my mind is playing tricks on me all day long. Because I can't stop, you know, you get distracted in sin and thought. Okay? When you're driving, you know, you're like, I'll be praying. I have to pray when I drive. Oh, Lord, do I have to pray when I drive? Because in the instant somebody does something that causes you to feel unsafe, okay, or you know they're causing other people to be unsafe, I just want to grab them out of their car and just throw them against their hood for a while in love. I'm loving it. But the Lord, that's not what God wants me to do, right? But my flesh wants to take over in that instant, that moment, okay? And we can do that, and we are going to do that. There's going to be a moment where you forget your place, forget who you are. And it's how quickly you come back and know that you're forgiven, but also realize the damage you might have done in that representation of the flesh in that moment. I've seen a lot of times where, you know, as a Christian or something like that, like, for example, I'm going to throw myself under the bus right now. Last night, my daughters were in our living room, and they had started a water fight. And in an instant, I yelled, you know, like my voice went way above. And I didn't realize the impact of that moment on my daughter. They stopped, they obeyed, they did the right thing. I thought the moment was over and that, you know, it was a moment of correction and obedience. No, my harshness affected her gentleness. And so when I went downstairs to go say goodnight to her, she's bawling. Yeah, how good do I feel? And so I had to tell her and ask her to forgive me and tell her in that moment that, you know what, honey, I reacted and I shouldn't have. But those moments of vulnerability and that moment of humility of saying to your daughter, you know what, I did that wrong. And do it right away. Do it when you realize it. Don't wait to think about it. Do it in that moment. That's a fight. That's a part of this. Satan is going to use everything he can to tear you down. Tear down your household, tear down your life, tear down your marriage, tear down your finances, tear down relationships. He is working constantly. He doesn't rest. Neither does God. God doesn't rest. And on your behalf, he made sure that you were covered. Because he knew that you couldn't do it. He knows Josh can't do it. But the power of Christ in me, the power of the Holy Spirit through me, and the Father that I love and adore has got me covered. So Paul, in his instruction here in the Ephesians, has given instructions on marriage, has given instruction on relationship, has given instruction on church. Okay? Now he's given you the final instruction about how do we fight this? How do we do this? Let's go into it right now. Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And with your, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So before I go into exactly what the armor is, he's very clear. Always be alert. Because even when you think the waters are calm, okay, the shark's underneath. He's just swimming. He's just waiting for blood in the water. That's it. He's waiting for that scent of an opportunity to get you. To derail your thoughts, derail your heart, derail your focus on him. And how often do we do it? We give it to him. Easy. Some of us make it easy. Because he knows, Satan knows your buttons. Satan knows the design and your heart as well. Okay? If your heart is given over to Christ and given over to God, he knows I got more work to do. But it doesn't mean he can't dial into it. Your heart is protected and guarded by God. But you got this little friend. You remember Charlie's illustration of you got the mind. Tell me when I get this wrong. Mind, flesh, soul, heart, spirit. Ah. I was right here. I was like, I'm going to mess this up. So soul is here. Okay, you've given your heart and your spirit over to the Lord, but your mind and your flesh are like, hey, buddy, what's going on? Yeah, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. There's a good time over here. Okay? That illustration spoke volumes to me because I could separate myself into those parts. Easily. Except for a lot of times it goes like this. There's this line. It's like tug of war right here. And these guys are winning sometimes, and these guys are winning sometimes, and my soul's in the middle going, no, 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 no. Yes. No, 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 no. And I fight that daily. Daily. Now, when your mind and your flesh are in tune with your heart and your spirit, and this starts to, they, like you said, your mind and your flesh, they start to go, well, that might be a good idea. Flesh, shut up. That might be a good idea. No, flesh, really, enough. No, this is a good idea. We're going that way. Because that's right. Okay, when you turn your mind over to Christ, okay, we'll go through these. Excuse me, we'll go through these. But before we start with the armor, I wanted to read 1 Samuel 17, We all know the story of David. Is that really the time? Okay. We all know the story of David. David had been brought to, his dad had sent him to go check on his brothers on the battlefield, and Goliath is out there making fun and mocking all of the Israelites, and nobody wants to move. They're all scared, and they got one guy who just represents everything. Now, we've all heard this story, but I want you guys to look at it in this context, okay? The power of who we serve. Okay, so very quickly, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has not been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Why does he respond so quickly? Because David is bold. He's standing strong, knowing that who he serves. And he's here to remind you, you are the children of God. Who is that? Who cares? That doesn't matter. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put on a coat of armor on him, and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took off his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and in his sling and in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." And David said to the Philistine, now pay attention, buckle up, because this is a teenage boy going against a giant man. He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole army and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." He even went beyond Goliath and said, "And your friends." Boldly. This armor that we're about to speak of, boldly pray. Boldly stand up for Christ. Boldly walk out and let Satan know. Put him on notice of who you serve. Christ died for me. Christ covered my sin. Christ took away the old me. I give that to you. I am now covered in your righteousness, Father. Get thee behind me, Satan. I get tingles in it. I get angry. Not in a bad way. It's a weird anger. I'm not used to it. But it's anger that says, like, Satan, you can't control my life anymore. You can't control my marriage anymore. You can't control my finances. You can't control my health. You can't control my relationships. You can't control my emotional responses. You can't control my mind. Satan, you can't control my flesh. But Satan says, that's where I live. How do we do this? Belt of truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Undivided. I know, don't. But that's what he's saying. Undivided. Don't let your attention fall. You're covered in the belt of truth. The truth shall set you free. Jesus. Breastplate of righteousness. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of the righteousness. Covering your heart. Okay? So we have the belt of truth, which is Jesus. We have this breastplate of righteousness, which is covering your heart. Don't be defiled. Allow that to pour over you and to protect you. Remind yourself of that. Cover your feet in peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. James 3:18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, don't let those words that Satan wants to get to you fester and cause you to say something and escalate the war. Don't be the guy who initiates the war because you don't agree. Don't be the guy that when everything is coming at you in strong battle, and I mean, you know exactly when you're in it. You know when you're in the heat of battle, in other words, whether it's an argument with your wife, which you lose, whether it is a disagreement with your boss, which you usually lose, whether it's a disagreement with God, which you usually lose. Let's remove that. You lose. Peace. In other words, you have to remind yourself, I can't do that. I can't react this way. I can't give that moment its pleasure. Because you're going to give Satan his pleasure if you react the way he wants you to. He's waiting for it. He's like, I got him. No, he chose peace. Now, if our world leaders would remember this or could be grasped by this, could you imagine the change? Could you imagine the change? I'm offended. Get over it. I still love you. And I didn't say that to offend you. And how can I, and because I offended you, how can I make this right with you? Die to self. You don't have to win. In that moment, that's a ministry moment. Oh, you don't agree with me? Well, then how can I come to a place where we can agree to disagree, but I can still show you love? I don't have to fight you because you don't like it. Shield of faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That can get confusing, okay? Because that's where that song comes in right here, okay? Just because you ask for it, you believe that it's going to be one way, remember, it's God's plan, it's God's will. He may not answer your prayer the way you wanted to, but didn't mean he didn't hear it. And it doesn't mean that that answer isn't still going to be revealed, just in his way. Okay? We don't, it's not us, it's him. We die to self, our self want, self need, self idea. No. Remember who we serve. And that God may be stopping you from falling in a trap that you're setting for yourself, even though you think that's the answer. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. In other words, Lord, I know you're going to answer this. I just don't know how. And I believe that you're going to make the path for me. You're going to open that for me in your way, and then I'm going to be able to see it. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by faith and not by sight. It's not physical. God may reveal. I'm not saying God can't reveal it, physically show you a way or something like that. That happens. But what I'm saying is that when I'm fighting for something, I call prayer fighting. When I'm fighting for something, I am completely giving that over to God. And that means that I am not trying to insert self into the thought process. Because as soon as I put me in there, then I can manipulate my prayer to walk down and reveal what I want. We do it easily. I do it easily. And then I stop myself in the middle of a prayer and go, wait. Lord, and the Lord just laughs. I mean, I can hear him laughing, going, glad you caught on. He's like, it was a great prayer for you. But just know that when we have the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness covering our heart, we've covered our feet in peace, we're walking in peace. And the shield stopping the darts, the attacks, okay? We use that shield of faith because as we're walking, Satan's like, no, over here. And you're like, no. I keep going. Have you ever seen there's an illustration of a father whose children are underneath them, and there's fire and brimstone coming down from heaven, and he's holding up a shield over his kids. His kids are underneath him, and he's just guarding them. And on the top of it says faith. My faith protects us. My faith in you, Lord, knowing that if it were up to me, I'd drop this shield and fight whoever's throwing it. But the Lord reminds you, I've got this. I've got the battle. Helmet of salvation. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. I love how it's the helmet of salvation. Head to toe. I'm saved. By grace, I'm saved from helmet. As soon as I put that on, Lord, thank you for this. I'm protected. And what is it covering? My mind. Don't let Satan in your mind. Remember, it's right on top. God's put that right on top of your head, the helmet of salvation. Your mind is covered. And though your thoughts may deceive you, I will not. Meaning the Lord, will not deceive you. You are saved by grace. Your mind, that sin, that flesh is covered. And I've got you covered from head to toe. Sword of the Spirit. Then he gives you the tools. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Why? Because it can cut through anything, any problem, any circumstance, any need, any question. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, when you walk in this world which is dark, and Satan's leading you through his haunted house, his house of horrors, which is this world, remember who lights your way. I call this, and I've made this statement many times before, and I said it to Charlie, that I like to look at our home as the lighthouse to our neighborhood. I want people to be attracted to what's going on in the Graham's house, and why are they so happy? Where's that joy and love coming from when there's so much of this garbage going on around us? And that doesn't stop inside my home. I want people to be attracted to wanting to talk to me, to wanting to trust me, to wanting to have conversation with me because of my actions, because of the way I am. And if I have this on the ready. Because if there's problems and there's questions and there's things that they want to have answers to, it's all right here. From beginning to the end, God can answer your questions, your needs, your get you out of your circumstances. And you have to invest. You have to invest, because this is like, you know, you've got the keys to the treasury of knowledge and power and wisdom, But it does no good if it just sits there. Invest in that. Now, at the end, Paul reminds everybody to continue to do something. To pray. I know I'm close to the time, but Satan has no power in your marriage. Satan has no power in your health. Satan has no power in your emotional responses always having to be negative. Satan has no power in your relationships outside. Satan has no power over this church. Satan has no power over the relationship in this church. Satan has no power over my children. I can say that boldly and in truth, knowing that I have the armor of God that surrounds me from head to toe, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. She covered my feet in peace. I don't have to react like the world. I don't have to look like the world. I don't have to be the world. I am a child of God. And when you walk outside and the world wants to destroy you, which they do, because they're deceived. They want to call you fake. They want to say that your Lord isn't real. They want to say there's no God. They want to walk around in hate to everything. How you respond, what you do, how you treat it, and where you present it. Where does the battle begin? Not these. Not this. There. Stop. When you're in the middle of the chaos, you're in the middle of the crisis, stop. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Lay it down before the foot of the cross. It's covered. It's not yours. Don't carry it. He didn't say not to acknowledge it. He says to pray about it. His, right here, real quick. Where did I go? Too many moves. Here we go. Nope. Dang it. Oh yeah, right here. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray, so I'll reverse this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. In other words, it doesn't have to be scripted. It doesn't have to be the same prayer. I've heard this a lot of times where people just pray the same thing. And it sounds repetitive, and it's like someone just put it on, you know, rewind. Pray with truth. Talk to God. Where are you in that moment? He hears you. He hears you. When your mouth isn't moving, give it over to God. I just want to encourage you. We don't serve a weak God. So why do we act like weak people? This is where that anger comes in. It's really weird. Because why should we be timid? Why? When I speak to somebody about Christ, I speak to them in love. I speak to them boldly and say, do you not know the God that I serve? Why are you in this pit of misery? You don't belong there. Christ died so you don't have to be there. I'm going to invite anyone up today who wants to pray for more boldness in their life, who wants to pray about a circumstance in their life. I'll have Steve and some, you know, other elders, Clint, maybe come up and we'll pray. But this is open to you. Why? Because God wants you to know that He is in you and that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have faith that can move mountains within you. Yes, physically we want to see that mountain move. It's not what that means. God can do it. He's opened up the earth and swallowed up people alive. He can move that mountain if that's what he needs to do. That's his will, not ours. But if we're asking for him to move a mountain to kill a bunch of people, that's not right, is it? So if you have something that you want to pray about, something that you want in your life that just is tearing you apart, you just want to give it over to God, even if you don't have to come up here, and this isn't confessional hour, okay? But give it over to God and be reminded that God's love is within you, God's power is within you, and that your mind is Christ. Your heart is Christ. Your feet walk in peace, walk in love.